Where does the story begin? Is that Torah brings to all the midot. Everything we want to accomplish in Judaism, Torah is significant. Torah is the beginning of the way that we think, the way that we feel, and the way that we act. And it serves as essentially as the bedrock of our personality, of our history, of our culture. So learning Torah is something that's very important. And hopefully, I hope this year, you realize that also Torah is a whole experience. So much of our Judaism very much depends on the Torah learning we're doing. And the more successfully that we do Torah learning, whether it's for ourselves or really for our kids, and really focusing really for ourselves, the sweeter, more relatable, and more will connect to Judaism versus a person who does not have that kind of a learning program. And I find that a successful learning program is an interesting balance between consistency and hard work versus what I call libo chafetz. The Gemara says that a person really learns in a place where their heart is. So if you really enjoy what you do, you know what Confucius said 3,000 years ago probably? If you enjoy your work or you enjoy what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. So there has to be balance. Obviously, not all the time all learning is going to be fun, as you guys learned this year, of course. But at this, so you have to be working, you have to be consistent. But at the same time, it's very, very important that the learning that, and the program that you set up for yourself is something you just enjoy doing. And after a day of classes, there's a lot of different things that are going on, you have to be excited about the learning that you're doing. Okay. The question is, what's the epicenter of what I enjoy? And the answer to that question is going to be different from one person to another. So what are some of the possibilities? And I think, again, it's very important as we are crafting the program, we have to ask ourselves, what is it about learning that I enjoy? So there could be a number of different possibilities. Some people really like wisdom. They love wisdom. You know, they like secular wisdom also. And they love the wisdom of Torah. So that's what really strikes them about the learning. Some people, you know, they don't like wisdom so much. But they like knowledge. Knowledge and wisdom are two different things. Knowledge, people like information. Wisdom is much more analysis of that information. Some people feel that it connects them to Hashem. I'll tell you the truth. The fourth one is really a personal favorite of mine. Not that I'm against connecting to Hashem, but I happen to like projects. I like the sense of accomplishment. I like to be able to work on something and feel like I've accomplished a project. So for me, a lot of my learning is project-based. I like to cover a certain topic. I like to finish a certain sefer. So for me, I very much into projects. So a lot of my learning, the way I craft my learning, is really project-based. Some people like to know about subjects or certain topics. Some people like the relationship that happens into Talmud Torah, whether teacher-student or student-student relationship. Some people connect to Torah because it's a sense of tradition. You have to figure out what connects you to Torah. And you're going to have to craft the program based on what you enjoy. Again, much of learning is going to be work, but a lot of it has to be what you enjoy. And you have to ask yourself, what aspect of learning that I connect to the most? What I'm going to talk about is, again, I'll give some practical examples, but I'm going to talk about the algorithm. You guys know what an algorithm is? What's a definition of algorithm? Algorithm is when you have a math problem, what?
Set of steps.
Right. If you have a math problem or some kind of a logical problem, and you don't know how to resolve it because it's just too big, you first have to make a plan of how you're going to go about resolving it. So again, what I'm going to try to do is really try to talk about and create an algorithm of some of the possibilities of how a person can craft their own learning program. Well, let's talk about the big rocks and the small rocks. There's a famous story I would imagine maybe you heard. There was a certain professor who comes to class, and he has a big jar that's empty. It's a glass jar, totally empty. And he fills it up with big rocks, like all the way to the top. And he asks the students, is there any room? Can I fill it anymore? And everyone says, no, it's filled to the top. So what he does is he puts in small rocks and he kind of fills in the steps, the spaces, and until it's full. He says, is there anything else you can add in there? And they said, no, now it's really, really full. So then he fills it up with pebbles and it falls into little spaces. And the students said, well, now it's full. So then he takes sand and he fills it up with sand. Now it's completely, completely full. So he said, anything else can go in here? And they said, no, now it's full. They said, every little crevice is filled. Then he takes a cup of coffee and he pours it in. He said, that's how you're supposed to build life. You first start with the big things, and then you move on to the small things. And then you have to move to the smaller things. But it's very important, guys, to make sure you leave a little bit of room for a cup of coffee with a friend. Okay? Whatever you do, you got to leave a room for a cup of coffee. So the way you build your learning program is on that principle. I mean, this is really true for planning in general. You got to start with the big things, and you move on to the small things. You got to ask yourself, okay, what's my main chunk of time? For some people, maybe an hour in the morning, hour in the afternoon, hour at night. And for another person, it'll be half an hour or 20 minutes. You have to ask yourself, what's like the main time for learning? And hopefully, they'll know they're like 5 minutes here and 10 minutes over there. Ask yourself, which learning will I join the most? From which learning am I going to gain the most? And you got to fill that in as your big rock. And then hopefully you have some of the smaller projects. So, you know, before some guy will be Gemara, that'll be that the 1 hour of learning, and maybe Mishnayos and Chumash, or it'll be some Musar or your Hashkafa, whatever it is. But you got to figure out which learning is going to be your main learning. And again, it has a lot to do with what is it you're going to enjoy the most. And then you fill in some of the smaller spots as well. A lot of your learning program is going to have to do with whether you are having a schedule like this. Sometimes you're going to have midterms. Okay? That's what it's going to feel like. And sometimes it's going to be much more relaxed. And it's just a little bit of a shake. Okay? So your learning program, by the way, I know a ton of guys who have amazing learning programs, hit midterms, and they can't really learn anymore the way that they used to because they just don't have any time. So what do? They feel very frustrated. They kind of give up on it. And when the midterms pass, they don't never get back into the groove. It could very well be, Meila Chatila just set things up, is that during midterms, I understand, maybe I'm not going to learn for that hour, but instead I'm going to learn for those 20 minutes or 15 minutes, whatever it is. You have to know where you're holding in every single time. I'll give you a parenthetical story. It may not be even so much of an issue for when you're outside of yeshiva, but it was an interesting point just to appreciate this, is that there was a certain guy in yeshiva who I knew, and he was a streak shooter. I don't mean in basketball, I mean in learning. I mean, sometimes he was amazing, and he would sit and learn Gemara, great, but sometimes he couldn't learn Gemara. So what would he do? He tried to learn Gemara, he couldn't. So he would end up going to his room and just bum around, do nothing. So we sat down, we said, let's make a list. What is it that you want to be learning morning Seder? So, Ian, good. And if you can't learn Ian, what are you going to do? I can learn Bikiyas. If you can't learn Bikiyas, what are you going to do? I can learn Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. If you can't do Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, what are you going to learn? I'm going to learn, I don't know, Musar. I'm going to read a biography. I don't know. So whenever it was, whenever you feel burned out, you pull out this list, and we just kind of go down the list and say, okay, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. There's usually something they would enjoy learning. So you have to know yourself, you have to know your schedule, and very often what happens when we can't do our best, we kind of do nothing. You know, there was once a Russian general who said a great thing. Sometimes, good enough is the best. Okay, modes of learning. You know, there's different types of modes of learning. So, classical shir, chaburu of guys getting together, chavrusa, guys, there's Skype, and, you know, I'm sorry, I'm just totally dating myself, but, you know, things like Skype, okay? Learning by oneself, sometimes some people do better with that. Safer, digital, app. There's so many different options of ways that you can learn. You have to see what fits your schedule. What is it that you enjoy learning the most? I mean, the great thing about a shir, if you're learning with a person who's knowledgeable, you know, always having that personal connection is always something that's really wonderful and something very special. Okay, that's the general thing. Let's talk about the practical examples. Again, these examples are just examples. And, you know, you can take or leave. I just want you to see a certain kind of mode of thinking. And then you can fit it based on your own interests and needs. For example, let's say a person wants to learn Gemara Biyum. Okay? So far, you've come to yeshiva, and the Rebbe had a Marim Kobo sheet, and everything was set up for you. Everything was decided what was going to happen. You're going to leave the yeshiva. It's not going to be exactly like that. Hopefully, you'll join a shir, and there'll be something like that, but a lot of it is going to be your initiative. So you may decide, you know what? I want to master a masechta. I want to learn a masechta. Okay? It's a nice feeling to finish one masechta. It's a great feeling. Or you know what? You may not learn masechta. You may enjoy topics. Like, for example, halacha topics. There's so many different ways, whether shiurim or books. I'm going to become... There was a Torah Shiva kid a number of years ago. He got really interested in halachot of Kriyas Megillah between the 14th or the 15th. He really got into it. And he was a Sephardi kid. And he really learned the topic so well, he actually ended up going to Rav Avadia because he like really became like a little bit of an expert in it. And he went to Rav Avadia with like a list of questions because he really, like that was a topic that really interested him. He spent a few months on it, really, really studying it very well. So, you know, some people really like to bite into it like, and they want to master the whole masechta and they'll master a whole, you know, topic. Accomplishments is that you feel that you have an in-depth knowledge, there's an intellectual satisfaction, you like cracked your head over something. So, you know, this is an example of somebody wants to learn Gemara Biyun. Let's say a person, you know, says, okay, I don't want to learn Gemara Biyun, or I'm looking for something different, something smaller. Mishnah, and, you know, I feel really silly talking about this. Everyone's got caught up in the Mishnah Yomis. So many different ways to learn Mishnah. So you learn one Mishnah. That's one way of learning Mishnah. So I added another way. You can learn more than one Mishnah. I mean, there's a project that people do. I mean, this is a little extreme. They finish Mishnah once a month. How many prep do you have to do a day to finish Mishnayos once a month?
18. All six sages?
All six. Everything from beginning to end. So the first time around is a little difficult. So they learn it the first time around, and then they learn 18 prakim a day. So, I mean, it sounds very, very hard, but I think that take a parak that you know very well and try to learn 18 times, it might not be so bad. But okay, that's another extreme. Mishnah Yomis is one extreme, 18 prakim is other extreme, but you can do it differently. For example, if you want to finish Mishnayos once a year, how many do you have to do? Little over two. You can do this in so many different ways, and especially if you do it with Kahati, it's a great sense of accomplishment. You finish a lot of Masechtas, and you get a lot of information. So some people, I know when I was in Yeshiva, I learned a lot of Mishnayos with Kahati, something very, very satisfying. Finished lots of Masechtas, finished a lot of Shas in my first and second year, and got a lot of background information that was very satisfying. Some people say, but you know what, I don't want to learn Halacha, I want to learn Tanakh. You can do it in so many different ways. You can choose a sefer in Tanakh. You can learn it very well. At some point, I spent a lot of time in Sefer Yehoshua. I really like that very, very much. And there were some times, I told you, I'm a topics guy. I love that. I chose certain Torah topics that really, really interested me. I always was fascinated by Migdal Bavel. I was really interested in the Meraglim. I was really interested in certain stories, and certain narratives. And I skipped all those things that didn't interest me as much. And I zeroed in on 10, 15 stories in Tanakh, and I learned them with commentaries. And today you have commentary in Hebrew and English. And it was really very, very interesting and very satisfying that I understood the main topics, some of the main topics in Chumash. I'll tell you one time I did something also very interesting. Parshas Kedoshim has a lot of fun mitzvahs. Lots and lots of fun mitzvahs. At some point I learned it in the halacha. So that some people very much enjoy the Tanakh piece. Again, you can make this as your main piece, or you can make this as a side dish. Other people say, okay, I don't want to learn Gemara, I don't want to learn topics, I don't want to learn Tanakh, I don't want to learn Mishnah, I just want to learn Halacha. So I'll give you some ideas for some topics. There was a boy in this yeshiva probably about 8 years ago who took on a very interesting project. Well, if you're Chabad, I'm not Chabad, but if you're a Chabad, this is obviously something they do all the time. But the boy decided to learn all of the Rambam's Mishnah Torah. What's the advantage of that? The advantage of that is that you see every single Halacha, basically, that has to do with Shas. In one set of Sfarim. It took him a little while, but he finished the whole thing from beginning to end. Rambam was not very hard. He didn't do it in 1 year. It probably took him about 3 years to do it. But it's not very hard, and you learn anything from Brachot to Korbanot, everything. Lots of guys this year did Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. It's awesome to go through all the halachas, all the daily halachas in a very short form. There's a lot of contemporary halacha Sfarim. This is maybe a little bit beyond some people. I did this when I was in YU. I found this to be incredibly satisfying. Tur Beit Yosef on Shulchan Aruch, the Beit Yosef, he gives all the shitas, and you look at the Shulchan Aruch, you get to learn halacha and the license, so maybe a little bit beyond some of you guys, but this is just some projects. Musar and Machshava. Some people really enjoy Musar. They like for Jewish philosophy, they like Machshava. I know a certain very big Talmud Chacham, just a word about him. He's a very interesting guy. His father passed away when he was in his late 20s, and he left a lot of money. So he decided to lock himself in a room for about 7 or 8 years. In seven and a half years, he learned all of Bavli, all of Talmud Bavli, all of Talmud Yerushalmi, and he covered about 250 Sifrei Machshava and a bunch of Sifrei Halacha in about 7 and a half years. I have a relationship with him, and it's crazy. He's an old man already, so he has a hard time a little bit. But any Gemara you ask him, he'll tell you exactly which daf it's on, and he'll tell you where it is on the page. Any question you have in any Sefer Machshava, he'll tell you exactly where it was, and anywhere, it's an unbelievable thing. So he told me once an amazing thing. He said, every person should find one Sefer that they become an expert in. Isn't it an amazing feeling, this one Sefer? Mesilat Yesharim, Sefer Achinuch, whatever it is, that you know cold. It's your point. You know this Sefer. It's very, very satisfying. When I was in Gruss for 3 years. Third year, I came to Rav Miller, and he's such a tzaddik, and he's such a great educator. I said, Rav Miller, I don't want to do anything that Kolo is doing. I want to do my own thing. He said, really? What are you going to do? So I said, I want to do projects. Okay, I like projects. He says, what are the projects you're going to do? I said, I'm going to review every single Gemara I've learned my whole life. That's what I'm going to do in the morning. In the afternoon, I'm going to try to see if I can cover 15, 20 Sifrei Machshava. He said, fine. He's tremendously open-minded. And I went through, not 15, but probably about 10 classical Sifrei Machshava from the beginning to the end. And it's a great feeling. I don't know if any of you have ever finished a sefer from the beginning to the end. It's a really very, very satisfying feeling. So, Sefer Mashalim Musar. And Yerubayim are a great resource even after yeshiva. I want to tell you this something. There was when I was administering the Kula, I thought this great idea. I thought it would be amazing if there would be an alumni share. You know, today we have technology to be able to do it. And I always wish I needed someone to like pick up, you know, and run with it. So one girl set up the technology. I worked out the teachers, and 3 years later we've been having 3 years of shiurim. If anyone thinks, you know, they want to hear Rav Schneider once a week, and they want to hear Rav Yudin once a week, and they want to have an alumni share, the Rabbeim are interested. We're just little dinosaurs in terms of technology. But whether it's going to be something official or not, remember, your Rabbeim are a great resource. So if you want to talk to them really about anything, I'm volunteering everyone. Not just myself, I'm volunteering everyone. I know they want to be. Call your Rabbeim. Talk about your learning. Talk about what's going on. And the Bezat Hashem, when you sit down, again, this has to be very personalized. If you really sit down, if you organize it, you can create a personalized schedule that you will enjoy and you will find success. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.